Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a California party in Berkeley tonight. 34-10 Cal with 8:06 to go in the third quarter. All going Cal's way and Miami coming up empty. And the extra point is good. Big play after big play after big play after big play here tonight. 8:06 to go, third quarter. It's now Cal 35 and Miami 10. Ward turns, gives Martinez. He is in the end zone for a touchdown. Miami stops the Cal run of 21 points. Ward looks left, throws for Restrepo, got him. That was a perfectly executed play.
Yep.
Perfect route, perfect pass, perfect play, and it's 35-18. Miami's down 17 with 18 minutes to go in the game. Now it's third down and forever. Third and goal for Miami from the 18-yard line. Here comes an all-out blitz. Ward throws. It's caught by Horn for a touchdown. Miami beats the all-out blitz. Ward to Horton with a dead-eye pass. And Miami stays in this game. It's 38-24 with 10:28 to go. Second down and one for Miami in the Cal 24. Ward to the air again. Right hash mark. Now drifts to his left. Looking. He's got a lot of room to run. He's going to run. He's at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, then into the end zone for a touchdown. 24 yards for Cam Ward. He surfs into the end zone here in California. It's 38-31 with 4:04 to go in the game. Last sip of saloon. This is it. Here we go. Snap. Mendoza looking to throw. He's going to run. Hammers
you're
him
not
from the
coming
side.
Back.
Wesley Bassaint knocked him out. Hit him on the right shoulder. And he knocked out Mendoza. He's down and he's out. Wesley Bassaint just levels the quarterback. And Miami will get the ball back. 38-32. 1:42 to go. Miami 93 yards away and Ward to throw on first down. He lobs it out there. He's got it. Restrepo at the 30. He's at the 40. He's at midfield. He cuts right at the 40. And he might go.
Watch out.
He's at the 30. 25. 20. Then the 15. He's down to the 14-yard line. From the 8-yard line down to the 15-yard line is where they place the ball. On first down, it's Ward to Restrepo. And Miami's 15 yards away from a moment of magic. 77 yards. Ward looks to his left. Arroyo short motion. Snap. Handoff. No, he throws. Left side of Arroyo. He lunges. He's got it. Touchdown. It's a touchdown. Miami has tied the game. A 5-yard touchdown to Arroyo with 26 seconds to go. It's a touchdown. It's a 93-yard drive. It's Miami 38 and Cal 38. And Borregales comes on for the biggest extra point of his life. Miami 38, Cal 38. A 93-yard drive. A closing argument put together by Cam Ward with 26 seconds to go. And now Borregales can put Miami in front and perhaps give them a winning moment. The all-important extra point. Good snap. Borregales is good. And Miami is California dreaming. With 26 seconds to go in the game, it's Miami 39 and Cal 38. Mendoza takes the snap, drops the throw, fires intercepted by Mary Noah, and Miami's gonna win. There's your winning moment. There's your winning moment. Maui Noah intercepted it at the 35. Miami's gonna win 39-38. Cal fans are stunned. It is a cocoon of grief in California for the Golden Bears. And for Miami, they are California dreaming. Miami 39, Cal 38. The Hurricanes have come all the way back to win in Berkeley.
I mean, I could relive that as many times as you want. And now the Miami Hurricanes, ranked number 6 in the nation, vaulting Alabama. That feels good. What an incredible come-from-behind victory. The Hurricanes, you know, not every game is going to be flawless. There's Canes fans. They can't believe what's going on in the first half. And Cam Ward's throwing picks. And not every game's going to be flawless. That dude does not get rattled. Cam Ward does not get rattled. That Hurricanes team does not break. They bend. They don't break. I saw Tim Reynolds from the AP had tweeted out, in the last two games, the Miami Hurricanes have allowed 72 points, have led for 15 of a possible 120 minutes, trailed by 10 points in one fourth quarter, trailed by 20 points in another fourth quarter, and they've gone 2-0 in those two games. That's unbelievable. And we're going to talk, I mean, Joe Zagacki was beside himself. You heard in that montage. We're going to talk with Joe Zagacki today. He's going to join us. He's still on a high. We're going to talk Dolphins today, too, as well. Now, sometimes you got to grind out a win. That's what the Dolphins did. It's not always pretty. Sounds a little bit like the Hurricanes. But listen, you got to stack up as many wins as you can during a season. Dolphins got one yesterday. They're one game off the lead in the AFC East. AFC East doesn't look very good. So you grind out a victory and you wait for Tua to get back. I mean, that's really, I'm guessing, Mike McDaniel's plan at this point. He was much better as a head coach. They still looked a little out of sorts a number of times throughout the game. Special teams was ridiculous. They had the one illegal shift that I can remember. I don't know if they had any more than that. But there were times where they looked ridiculous again. They grind out a victory. They're not all going to be pretty.
All of a sudden,
Crowder, by the way, is running a touch late. Some bad weather out there. He will be here momentarily. Joe Zagacki is going to join us. I am keeping an eye on Hurricane Milton. It has rapidly intensified into a Category 5 storm. And they're saying now maximum winds are at 175 miles per hour, which is ridiculously scary. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Thinking of that, our event Wednesday, Whiskey Stars and Cigars, will be postponed once again because we're probably in, while not with hurricane winds, we're in for some bad weather on Wednesday night. We don't want anyone to risk anything, so we will postpone Whiskey Stars and Cigars one more time, and maybe we'll push it off out of hurricane season this time so that we can actually let the event take place. But we'll keep you posted. If you have an invite to that, we'll keep you posted as when the new date is, but we are going to postpone it for Wednesday night. There's so much going on between the Dolphins, the Canes. The Heat get underway tonight with the red, white, and pink game. Panthers, remember, they were going to do the ring ceremony tonight at the Amerant Bank Arena. That's been canceled. But they are still planning on doing the game tomorrow. And I don't imagine that that's going to change, but I don't know. You never know. So we have a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon, no doubt. What were you saying, Solana? I cut you off there right as you were beginning to speak.
Right back in the mix, baby. Right back in the thick of things. Yesterday
they really are.
If you wanted to salvage the season, yesterday was a must win. It really was. Because now, hey, you get into the bye, maybe with, 12, 13 days of preparation, you can beat the Indianapolis Colts and Joe Flacco, who might be the best quarterback or a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, as crazy as that is to say. And then all of a sudden, you're 3-3. and Tua gets to come back, like yesterday, as bad as it looked at points, you got out of there. You did what you had to do. Credit and has to go to McDaniel for figuring it out. It didn't look good, but he figured out a way to win, which is all that matters.
Ron Armstead, to me, makes a huge difference. Raheem Mostert, obviously, because Devon Achan went out with the concussion. But yeah, they're not always going to be pretty. Listen, that game yesterday maybe beats one out of 31 other teams in the NFL. Like, that's how ugly it was. But you happen to be facing the one team that game was actually going to get you a dub. Because I don't think that game gets you a win over just about any other team.
But the idea that it's not always going to be pretty, can we just say this? Factually, I believe it's never going to be pretty if the Dolphins don't have Tua. Like, it's not that one wasn't pretty. It's just never going to be pretty. I think that's, Hawk, after three games of watching this product, they're not going to figure it out without Uno. Like, they're just not.
Well, I've, been a proponent of that for 2 years now, and I am more entrenched in that opinion than ever before. And for me, like you say, get 3-3 and he comes back. To be quite honest, you needed that win yesterday. I can almost stomach a loss, against Indy and knowing Tua is going to be back the week after, if he is indeed going to be back. You needed that one yesterday, and it didn't look good for a long time. But they found a way to do it. Like, they found a way, and then they got, a fortuitous call at the end, which was the right call, by the way. The New England receiver didn't have his feet down. So you got one. You got a dub. That's all you need to do. Get a dub, you get a dub. There's Crowder. He made it back with the inclement weather. Ooh. Sometimes you got to take an ugly win, Crowder. We've celebrated the Hurricanes already, and we're going to all day. But for the Dolphins, sometimes you get an ugly win. Ugly win's an ugly win, but it's still a win.
It's still a win. 15 points is not what I expected, but you're still a win. But
with that 15 points, there's probably one out of the 31 other teams that yesterday's game is a win against. And it happened to be the team you're playing, New England. Because I don't think you win playing that particular game against any other team in the league besides New England.
And Indy, where they have bye week first, and then Indy's not amazing. So that would be the hope on the Dolphins team. But I'll tell you this. I actually thought about this driving home with this crap going on right now and all these damn storms. I actually got to sit down and watch the game with the Canes on Saturday night because there's nothing else to do at midnight. I have no kids up. My kids are in bed. I can really sit down and watch. Cam Ward is exactly the player I want to have on my team. With those interceptions, he doesn't pout. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't get sad. He goes straight to the sideline every time. Straight to the sideline, talks to a coach, gets on the phone, or gets the iPad. It's nothing about emotion. Sad and mad are not the pheromones and the endorphins that you need during a football game. It is all business to him. He is special. Cam Ward.
He doesn't get rattled. Get rattled.
The phrase of rattled is that you get mad or sad. Is that you get all upset when things go wrong. No, something went wrong. Let me see why it went wrong and let me fix it moving forward. It's just it's happiness, it's excitement, or it's neutral. I was just – and they kept the camera on him. He had more camera time Saturday night than anybody in the history of the world. He doesn't get rattled because he doesn't get emotional. And that's something special with a young kid. Hell, he's a seventh-year senior, whatever it is. But that's something special in college to be able to just say, oh, okay, pick six. Why did I throw it? Okay, I didn't see the coverage. Okay, I will never throw that ball again. He's special, man. And that was one of the most impressive comebacks I've seen in a long time.
It really was. Undefeated. Ranked 6 in the nation. They've got a bye week as well, so we've got some time to relax. Their next game is, the 19th? And I think that's the Louisville game. And they just announced today it's going to be a noon kickoff. So all you whiners that couldn't stay up late on Saturday night, I'm going to talk about this later. The ticket wizard got me angry. Oh, this ticket wizard. Went to bed at halftime. Hey, he's a big Hurricanes fan. Well, alumni. It's Saturday night. What are we doing? The game literally started an hour earlier than when Saturday Night Live starts. I don't hear people complaining about Saturday Night Live. Now, granted, it's going to take 4 hours. College games always do. But it's one night.
Yeah.
I did tweet it out. All you Canes fans that went to bed, I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
Huh. I'm an honorary Canes fan this year, and I was up.
Had to be up.
I saw every snap.
It was crazy number of people complaining. What, 1:10:30 start in the last decade or so, and you're undefeated? You can't stay awake for that game?
Yeah.
Wrong with you people?
That Restrepo play to win, pretty much win the game, that it's called All Go Special. Solana, if you say something about my career, I'm going to punch you in the face. I covered that route 7,000 times.
Covered?
Because if you get in trips wide, the third receiver is about to run a crossing route across the field. I was staring at the weak side linebacker saying, oh, he's not gonna drop back there, is he? I saw Restrepo about to get wide open before as soon as the ball snapped and I saw the linebacker step up, I said, yep, I hope Cam sees him. And he saw him, and what'd he go for, 77, whatever it was. It was fun. That was a fun game.
That was a fun game. We're going to talk with Joe Zagacki. Let's get headlines real quick with Solana. It's brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Solana stayed up late watching that game. Jimmy was working, so I know he stayed up late. I mean, I want to hear from all these people. Went to sleep, couldn't stay awake. Oh, they were playing bad, so I turned it off. What? Putting cases on all you bitches.
Hawk, you're going to tell me after the Cam Ward pick six, you weren't at the very least considering turning that game off? Not to go to bed, but just flip it over.
I don't turn games off. I don't turn games off. Like, I've seen too many comebacks in my life to turn a game off. How many people turned off the Super Bowl when the Patriots were down 28-3 at halftime? I mean, we see this all the time. That's what makes sports so great.
And it was like 12:15, Solana, 1 o'clock. Like, what are you going to do? Turn it off and play Sudoku?
Watch some Netflix. That's what I did.
Man, you wait all week there for your team to play, and I watched the game. They put the game on at noon, I'm going to watch the game at noon. They put it on at 7, I'll watch it at 7. They put it on at 10:30, I'll watch it at 10:30.
I don't know. I might be a better Canes fan than some of y'all Canes fans.
Oh, I was hot. I was hot on Saturday.
Hey, he throws a pick six. You're down, what was it, 28-10. I flip over to Netflix. Then I get the notification, 35-10. Now I'm ripping Cam Ward and Cristobal in my group chat. But then I get the notification with 2 minutes left in the third. All of a sudden, the Canes are only down 3 scores. I'm like, oh, let me go right back, baby. Let's go. Cam Ward.
It really was an unbelievable comeback. It was so great. That was so great.
You can't yell, let's go, when you turn the game off.
Yep. I'm putting a case on you, bitch.
Put a case on him, Hawk. Put me on the stand.
As Solana was, it was so easily identifiable with him. Dude out of nowhere all of a sudden is like tweeting and texting me about the game when there's 2 minutes left. He's been radio silent all night. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I've had the sound down. Reese Davis sounds like he's not a fan of the Hurricanes. I'm like, well, if you were watching the game, you'd know he wasn't even supposed to be the announcer and he was very sick. And he was just toughing it out. But, you know, Solana turned it on with 2 minutes to go. All of a sudden, he watched the whole thing. Case on you, bitch.
Case on him.
It's the only part of a game that matters. Final 2 minutes. Let's be 100% honest. I saw the Xavier Restrepo 77-yard play. I sat through a 17-minute review again with these Canes. I mean, yeah, oh, my God.
This is coming from the guy who's probably going to listen to this red, white, and pink garbage all night on this radio station.
Listen, I'm hosting it, bitch.
Put a case on him, Hawk. I don't like him either.
Got a case on you, bitch.
Put a case on him.
Crowder, you're such a big honorary Canes fan. All right, prove it. Let's go. Let me see you throw up the U. Come on, right in front of the camera. Let's go throw
up
the
U. I'm not allowed. I can't.
Right. He will by the end of the season when they're in the Final Four. All right, quiet. Let's get headlines because I do want to talk to Joe Zagacki.
If they win the ACC, I'll throw up the U.
Well, that's that. They're going to win the ACC, but they're going to make the Final Four.
Hawk. Last second with VTech. Last second with
That's the sign of a good team. That's the sign of a team that's going to win.
Louisville's not going to be no pushover either.
Louisville's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
Louisville lost this week to Pitt.
They did. I bet them.
Right? Was it to Pitt, who is undefeated and now ranked as
well? No, they lost to they lose to. Let me look at my gambling history.
SMU.
Yeah, SMU. Yeah.
And SMU. Let me look at
my gambling history because I had Louisville minus -7.
And SMU is not the SMU that we've seen over the last 20 years. SMU got some ball players now. Yeah. I watched that game. They have a black quarterback with braids. Man, that joke was.
They couldn't stop them.
They couldn't touch them.
Yeah. Just another great school that you can find out on the Atlantic coast. SMU.
The Gulf, huh?
The Hurricanes are 6th in the nation. Alabama gets beat by Vanderbilt, and the goalposts are being paraded through Broadway in downtown Nashville, which was just awesome. The Dolphins win. They're 2-3. All of a sudden, tied for 2nd in the division. Yeah. The bummer yesterday was that Javon Holland is going to miss some time. He has a broken hand, broken bone in his hand.
Oh, you need a hand, Javon.
Just knock it down.
I played with a little club on for a month and a half. 6 weeks I had a club on my hand.
And Devon Achane in concussion protocol, that would be, well, I guess he'll be out by the time they're on a bye week. So,
yeah.
Good time to get concussed.
Never.
Well, heading into the bye.
Never.
Hawk, don't worry. It doesn't matter if you get concussed, if you don't get concussed, if your head hits the ground. As long as it doesn't make anybody uncomfortable, like Tua's, it doesn't matter. Because look, Josh Allen, guy took a beating into the ground. Clearly, his head hit the turf, bounced back up, right back in the game. Didn't matter.
That was my my whole thought. Tua should legally change his last name to Allen, and then no one will treat him differently anymore.
No, Tua needs to stop crossing his toes and having his little hands curl up when he hits the ground. And they won't tell him to come out the game.
Nah. They treat him a little bit differently. Josh Allen got some smelling salts, went right back in. Thought this was 1977 for a second.
I don't know in 2024 I can respond to you about this.
The Panthers ring ceremony, as Hawk mentioned, that was scheduled for tonight, has been canceled due to Hurricane Milton. Tomorrow night, opening night, banner night, still happening as of now. And the Heat will play their red, white, and pink scrimmage tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kaseya Center. It's for a good cause. Tickets still available, $7. You can listen to the broadcast here tonight. The Heat begin their preseason slate tomorrow on the road. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It's obviously very wet in South Florida. And as Hawk,
that's an understatement.
As Hawk explained earlier, Hurricane Milton is rapidly strengthening. The 11 a.m. advisory was scary, and it got scarier following
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock advisory, 175 mile per hour winds. Crazy. It's one of the fastest intensifying hurricanes on record. And I'm telling you, wherever you are, but if you're on the West Coast somewhere, like, you got to be ready for this one. My kid's actually leaving Tampa, coming back.
Yeah.
The whole cavalcade of people infiltrating my home.
Tell him come stay at Uncle Chan's house. We have a good time over here.
You have mac and cheese? That's what he wants to eat.
I did. I bought some mac and cheese yesterday.
Never mind. We have, we eat meat over here.
But the family size mac and cheese box.
All right, guys, that's your weather.
Joe Zagacki is going to join us next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ozagaki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Remember, if you're looking for Canes gear, you head over to Caneswear in Davie. They're on University Drive next to L'Espada's, or check it out online, caneswear.com. Joe Zagacki is the voice for the University of Miami. He was on the call late Saturday night in Cal Berkeley. Incredible Canes comeback. They remain undefeated, number 6 in the nation. So, Joe, put us in the radio booth Saturday night. Like, what was that one of the most exciting Canes broadcasts that you can remember?
Hawk, yeah, it was great. It was, I think my mind is a maze of jumbled thoughts right now. The broadcast booth. It was, yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was, you know, I just kept thinking, you know, it's math. You keep looking at the clock and the differential, trying to figure out where do they have to be at a certain time to really stand a chance in this game. And of course, they had a tremendous atmosphere at the game. Crowd noise was really loud. Big plays happening everywhere. So a lot of stuff's going on during the course of the game in the broadcast booth, but I think, I think somewhere along the line, I mentioned the word faith, and we kind of stayed with that. Like, who has the faith? Faith is one of the greatest acts of daring that there is. Down 25, does anybody have faith? And certainly, the Hurricanes, the players had faith, and they seem to really enjoy playing with each other, and I think they really like playing football. And I think all of that contributes to the kind of season they're having.
Yeah, Joe, if you look at my life and how my wife looks, I believe in the Lord too. But something happened in that game.
Well, I wasn't bringing him into it, Channing. I was just trying to bring who was hanging in there.
But, Joe, I understand the faith of it. I understand sticking together. But something happened in the end of that, like mid-end of the third quarter, where it changed. I don't know if Cal got conservative with the lead. I don't know if Miami changed things. Like, what happened? Like, we've sat on a plane and talked for 3 hours before about X and O football. Like, what happened when the Canes, when they did believe in each other, they didn't give up. But there was a switch that turned on both sides of the ball. And I don't know if Cal was happy with their lead or if the Canes changed what they were doing. But it looked like the tail of two halves type part. What happened?
Well, I think there were a lot of adjustments, that's for sure. And I think maybe the biggest drive for Miami was down 35-10. They scored the touchdown to make it 35-18. Under the radar was a two-point conversion. But what happened in the second half, of late in the third quarter, I think what happened is, one, Cal started running out of gas. Miami ran 86 plays in the game. Cal ran 49. The other thing that happened is the Miami wide receivers started winning on the perimeter. And the way, Chan, you would understand this a lot, the way they play in their secondary, it's kind of like they guard you like basketball. They were redirecting Miami receivers throughout the night. That's how they played. And then Miami kind of got the upper hand on that. The pass rush did not get home to Cam Ward, so Miami got the ball out quicker. And I think that frustrated Cal and wore them down a little bit. And then Miami stayed on the field because they kept converting their third downs and their fourth downs. They were 7-for-16 on third downs. Conversely, on the other side, Miami started winning on first down, forcing Cal into more plays that were longer developing plays. That allowed them to get more pressure on the quarterback, and Miami held Cal to 1-for-10 on third down in the second half. I think it was 1-for-10 on third down the second half. So Miami staying on the field and getting Cal off the field certainly flipped things in Miami's favor, and that allowed them to put together the three touchdown drives of the fourth quarter, 75, 70, and 92 yards.
Ooh. Crowder and I were talking earlier about Cam Ward. Like, he's just – unflappable, right? It doesn't matter if he's got a terrible pick, if things go poorly, he just kind of keeps his head down. It's business. Crowder was saying he keeps emotion out of it. So that
Yeah, go ahead,
because I think it's pretty remarkable.
Well, I think, again, he loves playing football. He loves the challenge of football. You could see, even when Miami was, you know, in the first half, crowds really loud, and I think Miami's down 14-7, and, you know, he's clapping his hands, and he's keeping his team in it. But just as important, and Josh brought this up from the sidelines, there were a couple drops. And he's not afraid to go to his wide receivers. As, you know, Josh said, he went right up to, I think it was Horton or George, and said, hey, you guys got to help me out. Catch the ball. And so he makes everybody accountable, and they follow him. But if you watch their demeanor on offense, I think they're very interesting. They're very dialed into their jobs. They rely on each other. They have confidence in each other. But he's the ringleader of all of it. And then I did make the point in the game. I think I'll go back to it. The other day, I wandered out in the practice field, and they were going through the 2-minute drill. And the first play of their 2-minute drill was a pass down the field to Restrepo. And I thought to myself, Joe, make a note of that someplace. When they came out in the fourth quarter at the 7-yard line, before I could say, look for Restrepo, the ball's in the air to Restrepo, and down the field he goes 77 yards. So a lot of the stuff they practice seems to work also in the games.
And Joe, that the play, the 86 versus 49, which I saw that as well, is that part of the Canes thing? Because we were talking about the thing with USF. I mean, who stayed up with them running that fast? Was that USF that ran the fast
USF,
stuff against
them?
They were running that fast stuff against them, and it seems like, I don't know if they sped up since then, but, yeah, 86 plays, and it seemed like they didn't miss a beat. Sometimes huddle teams can't go there. Are the Canes – can they do that consistently, or did they do that because they were down?
I think they had to do it because they were down. It took 86 plays to win that game. There were a lot of obstacles in that game. It seemed like every time they got down inside the red zone, there was some kind of penalty or something to thwart them and push them back. It seemed like they had to score twice all the time. Now, they can play with tempo, and they can keep pressure on the opposing teams. Tempo certainly is something I think they put in the hands of Cam Ward. In fact, I think Shannon Dawson puts a lot of stuff on the shoulders of Cam Ward. It's, you know, clearly his team and his offense. And you know, they also are going to reflect his personality. He's not going to be bashful about that interception, you know, throwing it across the field. The rest of us might be aghast by it. But he said, hey, that's me. You're going to have to live with it. So that's kind of the approach I try to take with him is, when we see it in practice, he's going to make those kind of plays or maybe not make them, and just got to live with it. Going to take the good with the bad. There's far more good than the bad, but they can pile up a lot of plays on teams, and I also think that's kind of in the DNA of an air raid offense as well.
So there's a lot still to come this season, and the playoffs are expanded, but right now the teams ahead of the Hurricanes: Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Georgia. So just for comparison purposes, how do you think the Hurricanes stack up with teams of that caliber?
Hawk, I spent a lot of time watching college football, and I think Miami, you know, I think they're right there. I think the playing field is a little more level now because of transfer portal and those things, and Miami's benefiting of it. And this is a very, very good football team. Yeah, there are some areas that have been exposed the last 2 weeks. But physically, if they're, you know, they're completely healthy, physically they're a challenge for any opponent on the offensive line and the defensive line. Channing asked what changed and probably left out. If you look in the third or fourth quarter, particularly the fourth quarter, and look at the Miami defensive line, and look at the way Mesidor and Bain and Barrow were getting off the ball. Those guys were just steamrolling into the backfield of the quarterback, and they really put a lot of pressure on Cal. But to answer your question, I think they're as good as probably any of those teams you just mentioned. Now, take away turning the football over and those such things, but physically, mentally, and skill-wise, I don't think Miami's that far off. I think they're in for a very exciting second half of this season.
And Joe, to that point, to Hawk's question, because I was asking something similar, but as you were answering, I thought about it. If I was a Georgia, if I was a Texas, I would think that we have an advantage with Miami's secondary. Seeing all those big plays, seeing guys average, one guy had one catch for 56, another guy had one catch for 52, three catches for 76. That would be my attack, is that, hey, receivers, you can beat this secondary. Is that legit, or was that just a microcosm of me watching the first half yesterday?
Well, I would say right now, I would be concerned about it because it's been 2 weeks in a row. And I think, beginning the season, the thought was that's going to be an area of weakness, especially in the back end. Look, you lost James Williams and Cam Kitchens, two really good safeties. The first 4 weeks, it didn't really bother Miami. The Gator game, they were able to get past that. We weren't really challenged in the secondary that much. And I don't think that's really the way Florida plays. But the more this goes on, the more the opponent is going to try to break down the Miami defense. And certainly the last 2 weeks, Cal and Virginia Tech did find some areas that created big plays. For Virginia Tech, it was their running game and the quarterback. And in this game, the tight end and they popped the wide receiver and a running back three. Some of that might be attributed to missed assignments or missed tackles. But nonetheless, the evidence is there, and certainly those are things that if they were to get into a game against a Georgia or a Texas who would be favored over Miami, certainly that would be an area that they're going to try to exploit and a spot where Miami over the next 6 weeks or as the second half of the season plays out has to improve upon. I do think Meech Powell and Harris are very good at safety. They probably need to get more playmaking ability from Porter. He doesn't have any interceptions. I don't think he has any interceptions as a Miami Hurricane. He played in West Virginia. I think he's got one interception in his career. I think O.J. Frederick at corner is going to be really, really good, but he's a freshman. And as this goes on, they're going to find some flaws in his game. And De'Ani Hill, I think, is also a really good player for Miami. He's a transfer in. But like Porter, he probably needs to come up with some more ball hawking type of plays. So until they do, they're going to continue to get challenged.
Joe, phenomenal call Saturday night. You, DBJ, and Josh Darrow. It was excellent. You get a little time off now with the bye, and then we'll reconvene Saturday, the 19th, noon, Louisville. What are you going to do with your time off? Stay safe during the storm.
Yeah, well, I have a wedding to go to in the middle of the week. And I'm not so sure about that one because it's in the middle of the state. So my best friend's son is getting married, but I'm not so sure about that. And so we'll see. Hopefully everybody stays safe and we survive this one. Then we'll go on to Louisville, and that's not going to be a picnic either. But even though they lost SMU, they got a lot of weapons on offense. And that Brohm, he's a darn good head coach. So that's going to be a big challenge as well.
And, Joe, for people that don't know, we live like a half a mile from each other. If I run out of toilet paper or, paper towels, water, can I just run to your house and grab some?
Well, Channing, interesting you say that. Almost any time, yes. But I got a little issue here right now, which is my water heater exploded. So that after a big win, the other night and flying all night, that brings you right down to earth when you've got a
glamorous life of a broadcaster.
Yeah.
I always think about that. We'll put together like a great segment and then we go to a commercial break and I walk outside and my cat has thrown up all over the floor. And so I spend the commercial break, cleaning up vomit. So you got home after one of the greatest Canes comebacks of all time and your water heater had exploded.
Yeah. Put spring a leak. 10 o'clock yesterday morning, right? Maybe 11 o'clock. I think I got home at 11 a.m. Maybe it was 11:45. Sprung a leak. And, I'm the reason like mechanics and plumbers and all that are invented because I have no clue how to do any of that stuff. Nothing.
Yeah, me neither.
But, Joe, I don't need no hot water, Joe. I just need some Fiji.
Well, I'll take care of you, Channing, one way or the other. You know that. I got you covered.
How bad was the leak, Joe? Might you need some new flooring? Because I know a guy.
Well, Yeah, trust me, this is not the first leak that I've had, and that guy who stands next to me on the weekends is taking care of my flooring the last 3 or 4 years. We've had a little bump in the road here with some stuff.
Maybe I suggest a little laminate for you this time, so it's not so easily damaged by the water.
No. We switched from that. We went tile, so it wouldn't be so easily damaged.
Ah, very good. Good move on your part. All right, Joe Zagacki. Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
See you guys. Take care.
There you go, Joe Zagacki. After an amazing Hurricanes comeback on Saturday night, that was fun.
That last call was great. I saw it on Twitter.
It was great.
I was watching TV, but his last call was amazing.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.